Okay, you guys ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Dan's still thinking about it. He's convincing himself. It's good to have you guys back. Don, really good to see you, brother. This is a friend of ours that goes back, oh my gosh, probably 30 years? Close to 30 years. Yeah, down in Lima. I met down at my pastor's church, New Hope Christian Center. Always good to see you, brother. It's a blessing. All right, so about a week ago, I did a funeral, and one of the verses or one of the parts Bible readings that the family wanted me to share was Psalm 23. Now, that's not a big surprise because almost every single funeral I've ever done over the years, almost every single family has wanted that to be a part of it. And it does make sense because there is something about, it's not just me, it's universally used at funerals. Why? Because there's so much comfort that is in those verses. And because of the reassuring imagery that we get when people are going through a time of loss. It's powerful, it's comforting, it's great, heartwarming images. But it's not just for funerals. I mean, even beyond funerals, Psalm 23 is one of the most popular chapters in the entire Bible. And when you stop and think about it and just meditate on it, Psalm 23 really is amazing because it's so simple. And yet it reads with such beauty, such elegance. And there is such a poetry to its purposefulness and what it shares. And Psalm 23 is timeless. I mean, it is just as relevant. It's just as powerful. It is just as beautiful today as it was 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago when David wrote it. Those six short little verses, those six verses have prompted so much scholarly debate over the last couple of millennia. And yet, it speaks to everyday believers just like you and I, with its very simple and its very direct encouragement. Even children are comforted with the words of Psalm 23 and with the picture of the peace and the trust that it evokes. Every single one of us has probably been encouraged, probably been ministered to by Psalm 23 countless times in our lives. And without realizing it, most of us could probably quote Psalm 23 in its entirety or close to its entirety, just because we're so familiar with it. It's that familiar to us, and yet it is always worthy of another reading. Amen. It's always worthy of fresh consideration to see what exactly does the Holy Spirit have to show us now, today, in Psalm 23. So, let's look at Psalm 23 again, together. I'm going to read this in the New King James. I will say that probably, it's not that much different, but this is the New King James. The King James is probably the most beautiful rendition of it. But in the New King James, it reads this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So simple, so pure, and so beautiful. Now, one of the things I want us to notice first off about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm of movement. It's a psalm of action. And that's not the way we usually think about Psalm 23. We usually think about Psalm 23 as being the exact opposite, of being lack of movement, lack of action. Because if I were to say to you, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Psalm 23? Almost everybody would say, lying down in green pastures, resting beside still waters. That verse is a lot of imagery that is just static. But if you read through the entirety and you just think about what Psalm 23 is teaching us, Psalm 23 is filled with all kinds of action words that indicate mobility and movement. I mean, listen, He leads me, so I am moving. He leads me to still waters. There's action. There's movement. He leads me down paths. We walk through the valley. His goodness follows us, indicating that we are moving. His goodness follows us as we go down that path that he has prepared for us to that special final destination, the house of the Lord. That first verse, that's the starting location. The starting location is in verse number 1. Final destination is in verse number 6. And all of those verses in between, those are the path that he is leading us on to get us to that special final destination that he has for us. And along that pathway, 2 through 5, that pathway is filled with encouragement, instruction, strength, Amen. Comfort. Amen. That's intended for us. Psalm 23 is a psalm of the pursuing love and faithfulness of God if we will allow him to be the shepherd of our lives. It's his pursuing love and faithfulness if we will allow him to do that. So our journey starts in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the foundation that we build upon. That's the point that we launch out from. Without accepting that simple truth, everything that follows in the verses, the succeeding verses, if we don't accept that simple truth, everything that follows in all the succeeding verses will not seem as wonderful. And we will not receive all that he has appointed for us, all of the encouragement, all of the strength, all of the comfort, all of the hope, all of the determination that he has intended for us. And God is not just a shepherd. He's not just any shepherd. No, we know from the words of Jesus Christ himself that he is the good shepherd. Amen. And that indicates that the relationship is intimate and it's personal with you. He knows you, and he is known by you. This is how Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Now, I was talking to my mother late last week. One of the times I was talking to her, and we were just talking about Jesus. And she said, my Jesus. And I was just teasing her. I said, are you going to share him with the rest of us? And she said, oh, I'm sorry, that was really selfish of me. I said, no, Mom, you had it exactly right. That is the way that you need to look at it. He is your Jesus. You're exactly right. It's intimate and it's personal, and the same thing is true for me. It's intimate and personal. If I make Jesus, if I will make the Lord my shepherd, if I make the Lord my shepherd, I will have the peace of knowing that I shall not want. It doesn't matter what my situation is. Regardless of my circumstances, I shall not want. It doesn't even matter what the world is doing around me. I shall not want. But that is a choice that I have to make every day. Every day I've got to make that choice. Am I going to make Jesus the shepherd of my day? Or instead, will I try to navigate my own way through the day? Because the good shepherd, he cares. He cares for the sheep. The good shepherd takes responsibility for his sheep. He guides. He watches. He safeguards his sheep from all the unseen threats that they can't even perceive or know about. He takes them to places where they can grow in the Word of God and where they can be washed in the water of the Holy Spirit to bring them understanding and revelation to the word that he is teaching, to the green pastures where they are grazing and being fed and growing in him. It is not wise to try to shepherd your own life. Not wise. And yet, sadly, this is what almost every Christian does. We try to shepherd our own lives. Not wise to shepherd your own life. It's not wise to only call upon the shepherd when you're in that time of desperation. That's not making him your shepherd. He's not their shepherd then. Yeah. And he then becomes their contingency plan. He's their emergency plan. He is their means of escape from all of the times of trouble, from the thickets and from the deep ravines that they stumble into themselves. Why? Because they have no shepherd. Now, you've probably seen this before, but it just paints the picture so well. Tony, if you can play that video. This is what a believer looks like, a sheep who tries to be his own shepherd. Man, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, that video is worth 10,000 words, because that is what we do. And if we try to shepherd our own lives, that's what we wind up doing. Look, you and I, we have a greater revelation. You have a greater revelation of the Good Shepherd than David, who wrote Psalm 23, could ever have under the Old Covenant. If you will say, Jesus is my shepherd, he will protect you from all of the dangers of this fallen world. Yes. And regardless of the struggles that the world is in, you shall not want. Yes. Psalm 23 is so simple, and yet it's so beautiful, it's so elegant, and it just reveals so much truth to us. Make the Lord truly your shepherd of each day. Here's what the word shepherd means. Shepherd means to guard. It means to care for. And it also means to lead. There is an element of allowing him to shepherd that means you have to let him lead. You cannot lead your own life. Got to take your hands off. And that's where most people have a hard time. They have a hard time yielding that control. But part of the definition of shepherd also includes this scene. Picture this. It is to look upon someone with pleasure. See, Jesus sees all the troubles and all the problems that are coming your way long before you can ever see them. And the Good Shepherd takes pleasure in making sure that his sheep shall never want for anything. Amen. The very first verse, Donna is the one who led me to Jesus. The very first verse that she taught me, and it touched my heart because of its purity and just the imagery of it. Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It doesn't matter what is happening in the world around you. If you make Jesus the shepherd of your life, if you make him the shepherd of your day, it is his good pleasure to make sure that you as his sheep shall not want for anything. If I make the Lord my shepherd, if he's my shepherd, I shall not want. The word want means lack. If I make Jesus my shepherd, I shall not lack. It also means decrease. If I make Jesus my shepherd, there will be no decrease. God is a God of abundance. In him, there is no lack, no decrease for you. God's a God of abundance. In him, no lack, no increase for you. Why? Because Jesus decreased for you. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. You have made him a little lower than the angels. He decreased for you. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all the things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little bit lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Jesus decreased. He became a little lower by becoming a man. But then as a man, he gave his life for us. He died. He rose again in complete victory. Now everything is under subjection under his feet. That means all the problems of this world. What's in front of you today? All of the problems that are presenting themselves in front of you, they are already overcome in Jesus. Already overcome in Jesus. We just need to make Jesus the shepherd of our lives. Everything's been overcome because Jesus decreased, and because of his subsequent ascension in victory, we have victory in all things. You shall not lack, you shall not want, you shall not decrease. All that's just from verse number one, which is just two phrases. And you know what? If you spend time, which I challenge you to do, spend time on your own today, just read verse one. Just meditate on verse 1 and see what other truths and revelations that he gives you and shows you. Which is pour out his love, his tender faithfulness for you, who he sees and holds in his eye. He sees you. He just doesn't see the outside of you. He sees the entirety of who you are and the creation that he made. He sees you and he loves you. He sees all of you and yet he loves you. And he's done all these things. Spend some time just looking at verse number one. So verse number one is our starting place. It's our starting location in Psalm 23. Verse number six is the destination. Now, because looking at verse number one, we now understand that that starting place is making Jesus the shepherd of our day, every day. That is the starting place. To get to the destination, step number one, make Jesus the shepherd of your day every single day. Amen. He's gone before you into the day already anyway, so you might as well let him bring you out into the day that he has prepared and established for you. Yes. Let him bring you out into that day. Amen. John chapter 10, verse number 4. And when he brings you out, this is that whole, I love chapter 10 of John. This is that whole section where Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd for you and for me. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus has already gone out into the day before you. This is the way I tell people all the time. When I lay down at night to go to sleep, I close my eyes and I let my last thoughts be on Jesus. And then I know that while I'm sleeping, because Todd's out of the way, I know that while I'm sleeping, Jesus has gone before me into the next day. He's gone before me into the day. He has seen all the trouble. He's seen the problems. And he has already provided the answers, the means of escape, and the deliverance for them. All I need to do is when I get up, before my feet hit the floor, I just need to say, thank you, Jesus. I know you've gone before me into today. Here, take me by the hand and lead me into the day that you've prepared for me. Because I don't want to be the shepherd of my day. I don't want to try to navigate my way through the day because I don't know what's coming. But I know that you have already gone before me and provided the victories. Take me by the hand and lead me into the day. Yes. Now let me tell you right now, I don't know what has happened. I'm just telling you from a pastor's heart. I can't explain spiritually what it is. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing from a pastor's heart and experience. Since Christmas, I have seen and heard, but just in my own life, in my own ministry, I have seen three deaths. Already one funeral, another funeral is coming up, probably two funerals that are coming up. I have seen, I hardly ever go to make hospital visits because you guys are never sick, which is good. I mean, it's pretty rare that I've been doing that. Just since Christmas, I've been to the hospital either to pray for, I pray for people before surgery, or we go there because people are just desperate in a hard way. These are people that are not even a part of City on a Hill. But they reach out and contact us. This is just what I have been seeing. I've seen people who have lost jobs, I've seen people that are discouraged. There are some days that I get up and I'm on the phone answering people at 7 o'clock in the morning, going to the hospital to pray for someone else, doing other things throughout the day, and then ending my day at a different hospital entirely in a different part of the county because people are desperate. I don't know what is taking place at this time, but this is what it said to me. Because we need to start making sure that we start our days by letting the Good Shepherd lead us into today. Because we don't know what is coming, but he does, and he's provided the victories. So how foolish is Todd if Todd gets up and says, I got this day taken care of. I don't have to spend any time with you, Jesus. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for 62 years. I know what I'm doing. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's happening, but I know he does, and he's provided everything. Take me by the hand, Jesus. Lead me into the day. Here's what I've seen. And all that I've just told you about, don't be discouraged by that because great things come of it. With struggle comes great, great deliverance. With struggle comes supernatural and people are strengthened. So don't be discouraged by it. But it's a wake-up call to us about something that is happening in this season right now. And that means that we need to be on the front end. Too many times as believers, we are reactive spiritually. We just go through the day, bad things happen, and we react to them. So too many times, we're the tail and not the head. We need to make sure that we are not reacting spiritually to events, that we are taking the spiritual initiative. Yes. That means you get up every day and you say, thank you, Jesus, take me by the hand. But it also means that you stand and you pray with your loved ones and you say, I am an overcomer in Jesus Christ. I have the victory in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going into this day praising you before I walk out of here because I know that I walk in your victories. And every plan of the enemy that is set up for us, we've already cast that aside. It has no hold on us. We walk in your victory. We need to take the spiritual initiative instead of being a people that are just being spiritually reactive, and spiritually responding to things. Because you are the head and not the tail. But too many times, the body of Christ, we're letting the tail wag the dog. This is the verse that talks about, this is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 13. Deuteronomy 28, 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. We're not reacting and responding, we're taking the lead. We're taking spiritual authority in Jesus Christ. It's part of the prophetic word that was spoken this morning. Jesus, you are so good. Above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. When it says heed the command, that word heed, it means to listen to. Everything about following the shepherd means we need, and this is what Jesus said. When he said he is the good shepherd, what did he say? He said that the sheep hear my voice, and they know him. We need to make sure that we are starting every day heeding, hearing his commandments, his voice, as he leads us, as he takes us into the day. God, Jesus. I forgot where I was. Deuteronomy, yes. So the quintessential image that we get from Psalm 23 is that of lying in green pastures. That's the quintessential image. But remember, Psalm 23, well, that's part of the promise. Psalm 23 is not a psalm of being stationary. Psalm 23 is a psalm about moving. Start your day moving in him. Psalm 23 is about moving. It's about moving in. Verses 2 through 5, taking us through. It's moving in the pathway of verses 2 through 5 to that destination that Jesus has for us. But we can't move to that destination until we follow the shepherd. That requires us to follow the shepherd. Now, let's look at the destination. Here's the destination that Jesus is taking us to. Psalm 23, verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is so beautiful. So beautiful. But there is a richness and a depth in that that most of us have probably never, ever considered until today, until now. Most of us need to stop and just think about what he is sharing with us, what he's speaking with us. We need to think about the destination that he has put in place for us. Because this verse number six, it is speaking about the destination that the Good Shepherd is taking you to. Amen. This is the destination, and that destination, it is a place where all of his goodness and all of his mercy are a part of our daily experience. Amen. If I'm following the Good Shepherd, if I'm following the Good Shepherd, then the goodness of the shepherd is also following me. If I'm following the Good Shepherd, goodness of the shepherd is following me. Here's what the Hebrew word that we read as goodness, this is what it means. That which is good, that which is pleasant, that which brings happiness, that which brings prosperity, that which brings us the benefits of his welfare. That's beautiful. But you know what? It gets even better. Because that verse also says, promises us that we have his mercy. Yes. The Hebrew word that we read for mercy is one of the most precious Hebrew words you'll find. It's a beautiful word. We see it many times in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word hesed. Have you guys heard that before? Hesed. We see it all the time in the Old Testament. Hesed is a Hebrew word that covers a whole lot of good things that fall under the category of God's love for you. In different places, hesed can mean love, the love of God. It can mean his loving kindness to you. It can mean his mercy. It can mean his grace. It can mean his faithfulness. Hesed gives us a picture of God's sympathetic love for you. That means his heart is for you. It also is a picture of his empathetic love for you, meaning he understands. His heart is soft and tender for you, and he understands how you're feeling because Jesus Christ has gone through it himself. Yes. Hesed covers all of these things. It expresses all of these things. But at its core, this is what hesed means. God's faithfulness to his covenant. Amen. It means God. It's his covenantal faithfulness. He is faithful to every covenant promise that he has for us. Now, Hebrew is unlike the English language. The more I learn about Hebrew, the more I study about Hebrew, Hebrew is a beautiful language because it's elastic. In other words, it can be stretched. It can expand to cover a whole lot of possibilities. Certain words, Hebrew words, they can mean different things in different places. But the beauty of it is, while certain words mean different things in different places, they all still encompass this greater truth. And when we read in the New Testament that the Word of God is living and active, Hebrews is a definite example of just that. This is why that we can get different layers of understanding every time we read a different verse. Well, hesed means it covers all of the love of God. But it talks about his covenantal faithfulness. So here's the thing. If I will allow the Lord to be my shepherd, I will walk in every one of the promises that he has established and prepared for me through the new covenant in Jesus' blood with the full assurance that he will be faithful to every covenant promise that he has. Amen. That's the beauty of the word. Hesed. Now, as we look at that verse, there's another word I want to focus on. Surely goodness, we've seen, mercy, we've seen, will follow. Follow is a fascinating word, too. Follow comes from the Hebrew word radaf. Radaf is almost always, in most versions of the Bible, you're going to see radaf is defined as follow. That's the way it's going to be translated. It's almost always translated as follow. But I will tell you, again, remembering that Hebrew is an expansive language to cover a lot of possibilities. Follow is way too passive a word for the intended meaning in this verse. If you talk to most Hebrew scholars, what they will say this means, follow, it means to, we read it as follow. How much better is this? It means to pursue. It means to chase. And it also means persecute. Now let's look at the first two. Pursue and chase. That makes a big difference. Pursue and chase is a whole lot different than just follow. It makes a big difference because we need to see that when we make Jesus, when we allow him to shepherd us on the path that he has planned for us, regardless of whatever comes along, what situation, what circumstances, regardless, we can know that all of his covenantal promises are not just loitering around behind me. No, they are actually pursuing me. His promises are pursuing me if you make him your shepherd. Oh, yeah. Psalm 23 is a psalm about moving. It is about listening and hearing the voice of the shepherd so that we can follow him, knowing that then all of his covenant promises are not just following us, they're actively pursuing us. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is. Make him shepherd of your life today and tomorrow and every day. So that was pursue and chase. Okay, what about that third word, persecute? That doesn't seem to really fit in with the rest. How does it fit in with that whole concept of goodness and mercy? Well, the word radaf, which means to pursue, is used in the Bible almost entirely. It's almost always used in reference to being pursued by an enemy. And if you think about this, we're looking at verse number 6 of Psalm 23. Think about this in the verse before this. It talks about the enemy being in our presence while we are on that path following the good shepherd. For you make a table before me, or for me in the presence of my enemies. It's talking about just this very thing. But in this verse, in the context of verse number 6, this is what it's saying. It's saying that even though you are being pursued by an enemy with an evil intent, the good shepherd is more powerful than the enemy that is pursuing you. So you don't need to worry about, you don't even need to think about the enemy who is pursuing you. That's the beauty of what this verse is telling us and what it means to us. This is the depth of the promises that he makes. And this is why it's so important. It's such a simple six verses, but it's loaded and filled with so much that is for us. If I will make the Lord my shepherd, and that's my daily choice, if I'll make my shepherd, then he will actually overtake the enemy that is pursuing me. Yes. That means instead of all of the evil intentions, all the evil plots of Satan coming to pass in my life, instead it is his blood. It is his favor. It is all of the covenant promises that are not just pursuing me, but they overtake me as well if I make him the shepherd of my life. Yes. Amen. This is my benefit. This is your benefit if we will make Jesus the shepherd of our lives every single day and not just on those days of trouble. We have to make him the shepherd of our life every single day. Now, to really get a picture to understand this, let's look at that word, radaf, pursue. I want to show you this word in another verse. This is Psalm 143, verse number 3. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. Persecuted? It's radaf. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. That is how the word radaf is used almost all the time in the Old Testament. It is pursuing and persecuted. That is the very picture what the New Testament shows us about Satan who is pursuing us. Remember that, and then think about this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is roaming and Satan is roaring. But if I make God, if I make Jesus the shepherd of my life, then all of Satan's plans, all of his evil plots come to nothing. Yeah. and they are actually replaced with God's covenant promises in my life. They pursue me and they overtake me. This is what's being promised to us if we will make. Don't be the shepherd of your day. Don't be the shepherd of your life and wind up in that ravine. Make Jesus the shepherd of your life. So the destination that we see in Psalm 23, verse number 6, the destination that we see is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, there's obviously a lot of promises that are to be uncovered in that. And we're going to do that next week. But I want to focus on just one final observation on this concerning to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because for David, the house of the Lord was the tabernacle. The tabernacle is where God chose to meet with his people. The tabernacle was the place of worship, and the worship at the tabernacle, now this is not all of it, this is just a small little portion of it for our purposes, but the worship at the tabernacle was a means of being in the presence of God, because God's presence was there at the tabernacle at the Ark of the Covenant. You and I, we don't have to go to a tabernacle to worship and be in the presence of Jesus. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already in us. Jesus dwells within us, and his Holy Spirit is constantly, constantly bringing us in, allowing us to enter into the throne room of God and be in his presence on a daily basis. If we allow him to shepherd our lives, this is where he's going to lead you, into his presence. A year ago, we spent a lot of time talking about pressing into the throne room of God. This is exactly what one of the most common and popular chapters of the entire Bible is leading us to, being in his presence all the time. You and I truly are able to daily be in his presence. We truly can every day dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives. Now, David was going to the tabernacle to worship. Again, there's a lot that is in that word worship, more than we can get into today. But David went there to worship. A big part of worship for David was music. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 8. Then David and all of Israel played music before God with all of their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and on trumpets. For David, a big part of worship was the praise. It was the music that he would make towards his God, expressing, releasing that expression of all of the joy, all of the passion, all of the things that he couldn't just put into words. But sometimes music puts into words things that we cannot. Well, understand this. Every one of the Psalms, well, most of the Psalms, were written as songs. They were supposed to be songs. Every time you read Psalm 23, and when you read it out loud especially, when you read Psalm 23 and do it today, do it tomorrow, get it into your heart. Every time you read Psalm 23, it is an act of worship to God. I would even suggest this. Yes, that is exactly it. Sing it. Speak it, speak it, speak it. And then as you're speaking it, you're going to feel just the Holy Spirit welling up inside of you. Listen, I'm not a singer. I don't know music at all. I can't read music at all. They tried to teach me in first grade, and I forgot it by the time first grade was over, okay? I can't read music at all. But I have had times where all of a sudden just music comes up inside of me. If you are just worshiping and being with him, read this out loud and just let that music, the Holy Spirit music, spiritual song, come up and start singing Psalm 23. Sing it to him and watch how it just ushers in that opportunity where you yield yourself and he becomes the shepherd of your day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all of the word that you give us. We thank you for the images that you present to us in this psalm. And I thank you that as we just continue to look at the other verses, we just thank you in advance for the things that you show us so we can draw closer to you, that we can truly yield ourselves and say, we can say on a moment's notice, Jesus is my shepherd. You are the good shepherd of my life, and I yield to you. And help us have that strength to every day remember to make you the shepherd, to say, Jesus, take us by the hand, lead us into the day you've prepared for us, and to remind us to be proactive and not just responsive, to be spiritually proactive in this time. in this season. We do everything we do for you. We thank you and praise you. We glorify you with our very lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise and worship. Praise and worship, remember what I just said and what God shared through Stephanie and through the prophetic words as well.